think about every budget you've ever done. It probably starts with like, maybe it says like list your income. Maybe it starts at the top with list your income. But like most times that just leads to questions anyway. You're like, is that how much I get paid each month? Do I add back in taxes and allotments and retirement account deposits to my thrift savings plan? Like, what is my income? We don't even worry about that at the start, right? Like, just clear your mind and stop worrying about it. List expenses. We don't talk about that either. Like, we don't need to stress about expenses right off the bat. What we need to do is we need to come up with your picture of the life you want. And that's why we say the first step in an appropriate, solution-driven, problem-oriented, quote-unquote budget, or as we like to say, personal financial plan or financial management plan, is to identify your dreams and goals. It's a goal-setting exercise. Welcome to Service and Wealth, the podcast dedicated to helping military personnel master their finances and achieve financial freedom. Our mission is to guide you through the ins and outs of planning, saving, and investing, and most importantly, how to balance saving so you can enjoy life now and retire with confidence. Welcome back to the show. This is Service and Wealth, a podcast about military finance, investing, savings, retirement planning, real estate, everything that you could ever possibly need or want to know about finances and investing and saving, but from a military perspective. I'm your host, Ted Ehlert, and we're back here. This is our, this is kind of a transition episode. It's going to be kicking off here the beginning of March. And, you know, I think the really exciting thing about it is we're going to be launching with this podcast. This is sort of like the announcement or introduction of our personal financial management system. And so that it's a proprietary thing. It's something we came up with, something that we use, and it's something that we teach all of our coaching students and, you know, anybody else who will listen. And it's genuinely different. And it's the reason why it's different is because, you know, instead of the sort of typical, like, hey, you've got a spending and budgeting problem, like, let's just tackle it head on. We kind of do, you know, like maneuver warfare. We do the military style backwards planning. We look for the problem. And the problem isn't that you can't pay attention to where $15 goes every month for a Netflix subscription or that you're not aware that you have a $75 bar tab every Saturday night when you go out with your friends, you know, after a long week of hard work. Like, you know that. That's not a problem. You don't have the problem of being aware that you're spending $200 a month on car insurance, $300 a month on gas and maintenance, and $600 a month on a car payment, meaning, you know, your car is costing you $12,000 to $15,000 per year to use, and that's not even, you know, factoring in when it breaks or when you got to do regular maintenance or like annual service. Like, you're aware of it. You might not know it to the dollar, but that's not the problem. And so we said there's no way that a personal financial management system or a quote unquote budget could ever work if it is not aware of the problem, right? Because that's what it's all about. It's like, do you have a problem? Are you here listening to the channel? Do you read our blogs? You know, have you read our book, Service and Wealth, which you can buy over on Amazon, either download for Kindle or order paperback? Like, you're not following along because you're, you know, totally ignorant of your finances or your financial goals or the difference, especially the difference between your goals, where you want to be and where you are now. You're here because you are aware that there's a gap, that there's a gap between where you are now, where you want to be. There's a gap between how you think you should be, you know, behaving with your spending versus how you want to be. You know, there's a gap in your knowledge about what to do with the money that you make every 1st and 15th from the government. Like, where should it be going? What should you be doing with it? And so, obviously you're aware of that. Now, if I just told you, like everybody else who tries to teach budgeting, hey, you need to download this app and connect all your accounts and then like pay attention to where your money goes and set limits on what you can spend, it's probably not the problem that, or the, you know, it's probably not the right solution because it's not really the problem. And so we developed this model and we call it the iCash system. We try, you know, sometimes I slip up and call it the iCash budgeting system, but it's not really about budgeting. It's about personal financial management. It's about taking control of your finances and being in control of your money and your financial future is the most important thing. So today, the whole point of today's episode is to explain what iCash is. We're going to kind of address what the problem is, right? Like just, it's something for you in the military, whether you're active duty or a veteran or, you know, in a lot of cases, I've found that the spouses and partners of my sailors and Marines were, you know, just as articulate, just as well versed in our sort of like military jargon and talking about the SMEAC and five paragraph orders and BAMSIS. And, you know, each branch has their own version of those things, but it's part of the culture. It's part of the language. And that means it's part of the mindset that we learn and we practice how to identify problems, how to come up with solutions through backwards planning, and then how to attack it in the way that's most likely to produce success. And I'm telling you right now, if you are behind on your savings, if you're in debt, and really, you know, it's been a while since we brought up these statistics, and these are now like, you know, officially like a year plus old. These are like 2023, 2024 numbers. And here we are in March 2025. So, the reality is it's not getting better. It's only getting worse because you've probably seen the headlines about every month, American consumer debt, which means credit card debt, revolving lines of credit, personal loans, auto loans, is setting new records every month in the trillions of dollars that American households owe in debt. So it's only getting higher. It's only getting worse. But, you know, over the last 12 to 18 months in America, over 6 out of every 10 Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. That means that if any one thing happens, they have no savings to handle an emergency expense. You know, they don't have any ability to, if the car breaks down, they're going to have to take out another loan, more debt, to get a new car. If they have a medical emergency, credit cards. You know, if their family needs them, credit cards. There's no extra cash. And basically, you know, at the time it was like 62%. So like we could almost say 2/3 of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, which is functionally like the dollars that they might be earning might be higher than the federal poverty line, which is, you know, around $25,000 for like a family of two and $30,000 for like a family of three. You might be earning 50 or 60 or 70,000, but if you're living paycheck to paycheck, you're functionally poor. You're never getting ahead. You're just trying to survive 2 weeks at a time. And, you know, I get it in the military, like especially, you know, as a combat arms guy from the Marine Corps and a tanker and, you know, especially back when we were going to, Afghanistan and Helmand Province, and we definitely have the mindset of like, you know, screw it. Like, who cares? I might not be here tomorrow. I might not be here next month. I might not be here a year from now. So like, who cares? I'm just going to enjoy it while I got it. Well, you know, the reality is like 99% of us are still here. Despite going to war, despite multiple combat tours, you know, we might think like we're living fast and loose and that there's no reason to like worry about the future. Like, let's just live life to the max. And then you wake up 10, 15, 20 years later and you're like, that was probably careless. And, you know, hopefully this broadcast and this channel is really reaching the younger men and women in uniform who are still in their 20s and early 30s, who are still kind of like struggling with that mindset and like not having a good orientation on the future, you know, everything for the here and now, and not realizing that everything you do in the here and now that is, you know, wasteful or destructive whether that's to your physical health, your mental health, your emotional health, or your financial health, is going to come back compounded and be many, many times more costly and painful to future you, which is still the same old you. It's just 10 or 15 or 20 years down the line when you're still broke, when you're still not able to make ends meet, when you can't leave the military or you can't leave whatever contractor job or you can't leave whatever, you know, other civilian job that you've found yourself in, because if you do, you can't survive 1 month without a paycheck, right? And that's two-thirds of America. The average American household has less than $8,000 cash saved between all accounts, right? Which, you know, if you read our blog post on emergency savings, which was kind of how we kicked off the blog, and one of our earliest podcasts was on emergency savings. The whole point of emergency savings is so that a life emergency doesn't become a financial emergency, which means you have to have enough cash to cover your lifestyle needs. At a minimum, for anyone in the military, living in the barracks, no car, we're talking like $3,000 or $4,000, because you need to be able to like replace a phone, you need to be able to get home, and, you know, maybe something, right? As soon as you have a car, right, you've got to be able to have enough cash to replace that car so you don't have to go into car like an auto loan or credit card debt for transportation, so you can get to the job to earn the paycheck to pay for the, you know, pay your bills. So as soon as you go in a car, that emergency savings requirement goes up to $10,000 minimum. Well, the average American's got $8,000, which means the average American doesn't have enough savings of any kind to cover even the most basic financial emergencies. At the same time, the average American has over $10,000 in credit card debt, which is kind of mind-blowing, right? You know, like at the worst, I was probably about $8,000 in credit card debt, and that seemed like the end of the world. But to think that the average, and at the time I didn't have an auto loan, you know, but to think that the average American has $10,000 in credit card debt plus another $17,000 owed on an auto loan, the numbers are just staggering, right? I mean, you think about that. Just 2 out of 3 Americans, they owe the bank $25,000 to $30,000. They got less than $8,000 in savings, and they're not making any additional savings every paycheck or month to month, right? They know it, right? And so that's why budgeting doesn't help, right? Budgeting usually fails, because think about that person. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's your best friend. Maybe it's your cousin. Maybe it's your parent. Maybe it's, you know, or who knows, your battle buddy, whatever. But just imagine what that person's going through. You know, every morning they wake up and they probably can't help it, but they check the bank account because it's probably so low that they're worried that some sort of random charge that could pop up there that they forgot about or weren't expecting, or maybe somebody, you know, online like tries to hack their PayPal account and pull money out of the bank could overdraft them and bring them to zero, could make them broke, right? And so they start the day with that on their mind, and they start their day knowing that they're broke. And then maybe they get a notification of like a bill payment, and they go through the day just being aware that they don't have the cash savings, that they got these bills coming due, that they got to make sure that, you know, they either stay in the military or they keep their job that they've got in the outside world just in order to pay those bills and to get by. And that's a lot of stress. That's a lot of anxiety. At the end of the day, they come home exhausted. It doesn't have to be exhaustion from like the physical work or even the mental work, just emotionally exhausted and drained from being stressed about money all day long. And what do? Chances are you're going to grab a pizza, some other prepared meal. Maybe you're going to jump on your phone with Uber Eats or DoorDash, have some sort of food brought to you that is sort of like comforting. And then you're going to pop on, you know, your favorite show and watch a couple hours of streaming on Hulu or YouTube or Netflix or Paramount or whatever it is. And this is like your 2 hours for this person. This is like the 2 hours of the day of relaxation. Now, maybe this person is a parent and now they come home and they've got a partner or spouse and who's also feeling the pressure. And between them, there's the tension and the stress of the money and they're looking at their kids, thinking about, like, how am I ever going to provide for this family? Like, we can barely get by now. And in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, you know, I'm going to have to help my kid with transitioning to being a young adult, you know, whether that's a car so they can go to a job, or, you know, getting an internship, or sending them off to a summer camp to make them competitive to get into college, or going to college, maybe even high school, like a chartered high school, right? Like, it's just stress until, you know, until the sun goes down and until the kids are in bed. And then what do? Like, well, you're probably still going to want to sit down and watch your favorite shows and eat something you shouldn't. And what do budgets do? Budgets come at you and they say, hey, dummy, you spend too much on subscriptions. You need to cut that crap out. Well, how do you think somebody's going to react when a tool says a solution is to take away the only thing that gives them any relaxation on the day? You're not going to follow that. You're going to throw it out, right? Because, and this is a, you know, an economics term, but utility is how much enjoyment you get out of something, right? From $15 for a monthly Netflix subscription, you might get like 100 units of utility. For $150 a month for, you know, paying for a gardener to, like, cut your grass, I don't know any that would do it for $150, but if you found one, let me know. You know, you might only get, like, 20 units of utility, right? Like, all I'm saying is, for one-tenth the cost, Netflix might give you 5 times or even 10 times as much joy as something else in your life that's more expensive, right? And so budgets usually fail because they just give this generic solution to the wrong problem, or the wrong solution to the wrong problem, or the wrong solution to the right problem. It doesn't help the person. In fact, it makes them feel defensive. It makes them feel guilty. It makes them feel, you know, argumentative. And so they just quit, or they ignore it. And they just keep rolling, right? Because, you know, even if you're aware of the problem, if you don't tackle it head on and you just keep kind of keeping yourself numb with, whether that's, you know, watching shows and ignoring it, or abusing different substances, it's like the problem doesn't really exist and you put it off to another day. And yet, when it comes to financial problems, every day they compound, which means they don't get worse by like $1 a day. They get worse by $1 the first day, and then $1.02 the next day, and $1.05 the next day, and $1.10 the next day, until eventually they're overwhelming and they ruin people's lives. Or at the very least, they keep you from getting where you want to get, right? Because now the debts and the past financial mistakes are too expensive to make up, and they take everything you got, and now you can't go after the things you want later in life, like the big house or the, you know, family vacations twice a year, giving yourself the gift of a really nice car at retirement. You know, drive an absolute dump, a hoopty, for 20 years while you're in the military, and the amount of money you save on interest and those car payments, and that you save on lease payments, and that you save on maintenance, gas, accessories, all that other stuff, by the time you're ready to retire in 20 years, you'll have $250,000 cash, and you can go up and buy yourself your dream car, cash, right? So, you know, the point of what we're saying here is, if you have the wrong solution to the problem, or you don't even know what the problem is and you just throw a solution out there, it's not going to help anybody. And the whole purpose of this channel is to help everyone in uniform, everyone retired, all our veterans, all their families and loved ones. Our community is huge, and we got to get the information out and the word out and help people with their financial IQ so that they can take control of their finances and get things, you know, back in the, you know, the right bearing, right? So we'll take this moment. It's a right moment to just remind everybody that the content of this show is educational in nature. None of it is meant to be, you know, taken as financial, tax, legal, or even life advice, right? You live your own life, make your own decisions. And the same with investments. Every investment has risk, and you're going to have to do your own research, make your own decisions, and then most importantly, because we're the military and we believe in accountability, you got to live up to whatever the consequences of your decisions are. And, you know, as we've been saying more and more on this, do a hot wash on your mistakes, on your victories too. Like, your W's and your L's need to be looked at, but especially when you make a mistake financially, like, do a hot wash, do a deep dive, make sure that you've got a good understanding of what went wrong so you can fix it next time. All right. So we've just spent some time talking about, you know, why budgets fail, why budgets suck. And, you know, there's a, we've recently kind of hit that up, you know, in the last podcast and a recent blog post. And, you know, we talk some things about budget errors or budget failures being owed to unrealistic expectations, right? A lack of awareness of where every dollar is. Just not being willing to change. Poor planning, so not being ready for the unexpected. Or just not having the right budget method. Now, I think most of them unwind or unravel with the budgeting method not being the right fit. And it can be even worse if you're in a relationship and you and your partner aren't on the same page. Like, that is an absolute recipe for total failure. And so we're going to talk about that throughout this episode and talking about the iCash system. But also just keep in mind some of these other reasons why budgets fail. Unrealistic expectations. A lack of awareness on what you're actually spending. Resistance to changing. Not planning for the unexpected, right? Those are all very common and consistent problems that iCash will address. And so now is probably a good time. You've probably been saying, like, okay, I get it. iCash. What is that? You know, well, first of all, the spelling is simple. It's I-C-A-S-H. And, you know, to kind of exploit the whole internet branding bit, we use a lowercase I and then all caps C-A-S-H. So we're not, you know, we're not ripping off of iPhone or iPod or iRobot, but it's still in the same vein, right? To kind of show, like, this is a new way of looking at personal financial management. Well, what does it mean? Great question. So it's an acronym, right? And because we're in the military community, we can't do anything without acronyms, right? In fact, we get awards for acronyms. I don't know if anybody in the Marine Corps has ever gotten an award for an acronym, because in the Marine Corps, you just get an award once per tour for, like just surviving it, you know? Like, nobody in the Marine Corps ever does anything good enough, so nobody ever really gets a great meritorious award. You just sort of, like, they're like, oh my God, you're still here? Can't believe you tolerated the last 3 years in this heinous billet. Congratulations, here's an award, right? Whereas, you know, I've got friends in the Navy and in the Air Force, and they're like, yeah, I wrote this 3-page paper for the Admiral, and I invented this new acronym, and I got, not only did I get an award, I got promoted. It's wild, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, eye roll, right? But anyway, I'm kidding, right, guys? I gotta talk trash on the other branches every time we come out of the show, but it's all in love. But anyway, so iCash, it stands for Identify Dreams and Goals, I. C is calculate the cost. A is assemble your plan or your personal financial plan. S is set up automation. And H is hold accountable. And the reason why we say hold accountable at the end is for a couple different reasons. We don't say hold yourself accountable because it's not powerful enough. The whole reason why you're in financial difficulty is because willpower is not a bottomless, you know, reservoir or reserve. You know, you've only got so much of it. And while your willpower is there and you're holding yourself accountable, you're going to do fine. You're going to stick on the plan and you're going to do fine. But once that willpower goes away, and I'm not saying at the end of the day or at the end of the year, I'm just saying at any time, like, peer pressure can, you know, Saturday when you meet an attractive person and you just can't help yourself, but you got to show out and, you know, do whatever you got to do. Would that cost money? That is also a lack of willpower. So we say hold accountable because there's three dimensions of accountability. And we'll talk about more about that in a future episode, but it's all about the community and the systems that you put in there so that you let the computers and the automation and your coaches and your battle buddies everybody else help hold you accountable. But anyway, so why are we starting with something other than like list expenses, right? Because, you know, think about every budget you've ever done. It probably starts with like, maybe it says like list your income. Maybe it starts at the top with list your income. But like most times that just leads to questions anyway. You're like, is that how much I get paid each month? Do I add back in taxes and allotments and retirement account deposits to my thrift savings plan? Like, what is my income? We don't even worry about that at the start, right? Like, just clear your mind and stop worrying about it. List expenses, we don't talk about that either. Like, we don't need to stress about expenses right off the bat. What we need to do is we need to come up with your picture of the life you want. And that's why we say the first step in an appropriate, solution-driven, problem-oriented, quote-unquote budget, or as we like to say, personal financial plan or financial management plan, is to identify your dreams and goals. It's a goal-setting exercise. Because the only way that you'll ever change your money habits, that you'd ever be willing to give up the lawn care service or the housekeeper or the, you know, the Uber Eats or your five different streaming subscriptions or trade in your car that you make payments on for one that you can afford just cash without payments, to get a roommate, to house hack, to live in a smaller house, to, you know, the number of friends I've had throughout my entire career. And, you know, just full disclosure, like I'm talking about officers here, but, you know, the small families that have like 3, 4, 5 bedroom houses and are spending an extra $1,000 to $1,200 a month just for like an extra room to like, I don't know, put a couch in. And they're like, oh, that's the spare room, right? For what? For $1,000 a month? Okay. Right. And I could say that because I was there. I did that for a while. And I was like, this is dumb. You know, like I'm costing my family $10,000 in current dollars. And over the course of a career, we're talking like $250,000 or more just by having a house that's got one extra room in it. Would I rather have in 20 years or 10 years, would I rather have an extra $250,000 in the bank? Or do I want the memory of like that one time that my in-laws came at Thanksgiving and used the guest bedroom? You know, like it's just, these are all silly things. But in the moment, if you're only focused in the moment, you're never going to be able to like say no or make a better decision. And so it starts with goal setting. And, you know, you can't just set goals, but like, I want to save $5,000 for a vacation or $10,000 for a new car or $20,000 for a down payment on a new house. Because maybe you don't want that. You know, these are just generic examples we threw out there. So a proper, again, solution-driven, problem-oriented system for managing your finances starts with identify dreams and goals. It's a goal-setting exercise, nothing more. And this is not an overnight thing. In fact, I got to tell you, for my own purpose statement, goals and values worksheet that I've done, you know, I started that like 5 years ago, and I'm still making changes, right? It grows with you. It changes over time. As your life changes, you've got to update it. As you transition from the military, you got to update it. Things are always changing. So you don't have to worry about getting it right on the first time. All you got to worry about is getting it done. Now, let's talk about what that means then. Because today we said we're going to introduce our iCash system for personal financial management. And here I am telling you that the very first step and the most important step of it has got nothing to do with dollars and cents. So how does it work? How does this translate into something that actually works for you? Well, let me give you an example. And this is just from me. But let's rewind the clock about, well, I guess just a little under 15 years ago, right? But, we can go a little bit farther, you know, like 15, 16 years ago. So back to lieutenant days and deploying days out of the fleet. And we had things like a savings deposit program, SDP. I always get that one a little mixed up. But, you know, the government said, hey, while you're deployed, you know, you can save money directly from your paycheck as an allotment into this account. And then we're going to pay you 10% interest on it. And then when you get back, boom, all the money's yours. The thrift savings plan was becoming more, more of a thing, right? And also with the internet and smartphones and apps, the accessibility to investing in through things like E-Trade or TD Ameritrade and things like that was becoming a lot more popular. And so here we are, you know, back as a lieutenant, everybody's like, it was things that like the officers and staff NCOs were talking about. And some of our NCOs were talking about it. Most of them were like, not, you know, but whatever. But you know, this was like an 01, 02 and like an E7, E8, E9, like pretty regular topic of conversation, which is like, oh, are you participating in the SDP? Hey, how much are you putting each month into TSP? What are your allocations? Like, do you have an IRA? How much do you think you should have in your emergency savings fund? Like, these are all topics we're talking about. And I was always like, I don't care about that. Why do I care about that? And I would say it. I'd be like, that stuff's stupid. You're just going to you're gonna lose it all anyway. Like, it's just a casino. Whatever. 5 years later, now I'm a bit older, married, looking at a future that is going to include children and a family. And I'm looking in the rearview mirror and I'm saying, oh, you know, I always wanted a family. I always wanted to have, I wanted to be able to leave the military on my terms. I wanted to retire early. I did not want to work until I was in my 60s. I want to be able to help my kids like go through life debt-free, because I didn't. I had, you know, six-figure debt until I was in my early 40s. All these things that shaped like things that were important to me. And all through those years, when I could have had a system that automated savings deposits, that automated investment accounts, that automated TSP deposits, I didn't do any of that because I couldn't connect this sort of like hope or vision of the future with the financial choices I was making at the time. You know, and so my wife and I sat down and we put together our plan and we calculated some numbers and we realized like where we needed to be and was a long ways away from where we were. And we had to do some really hard work. You know, we had to sell cars. We had to downsize our house by almost half. We canceled tons of subscriptions. We gave up some expensive hobbies. Sold a lot of electronics and other things. And just because the amount of money when you're in your mid to late 30s that you need to save to catch up is like 10 times as much as if you just started. And, you know, we talk about the numbers sometime. We don't need to get into it today, but if you were to start saving for retirement at age 22, you could save about $600 or $700 a month. And by the time you're 62, you'll have enough to retire on a six-figure annual retirement income just from your accounts, not including Social Security or any pension or disability you might get. To get to that same number, if you just wait 10 years, you're going to be looking at almost quadrupling the amount of money. You're going to need to be saving about $2,000 or $2,200 a month. And if you were to wait until your late 30s, so you just wait like 12 or 13 years, which doesn't seem like much, right? Your 20s are going to fly by. Your 30s will fly by. Suddenly, you're in your late 30s, and now you're finally like going to be a parent. And you're like, oh, well, by 62, I want to make sure that I can retire on this level of income. You're going to be needing to save over $5,000 a month, right? It's over seven times more expensive to get to the same goal just by waiting. But you wouldn't know it, right? You'll never know it if you don't visualize it first and start making it an important thing for you to invest in now. And so, you know, we were able to catch up, right? But what I realized is we needed a new system. We needed a system for managing our finances, and everyone needs one that is going to help you see your current financial decisions through the eyes of an older, wiser you who's got a lot bigger dreams and a lot more expenses and a lot more complications with family and children and retirement and everything else. So that's why we said the first step's got to be identify dreams and goals. Now, in the military, we all learn about goal setting using SMART, right? That's got to ring a bell for, I hope all of you. But we talk about SMART goals, things that are specific, that are measurable, that are achievable, that are reasonable, and that are time dependent, right? So you can't just say, oh, I want to retire early. You'll never do it, right? You'll know if you're like, I want to retire early. I want to retire when I'm 50. You know, just go bass fishing every day for the rest of my life, and I just need a cabin in the woods, right? And I'm good. Well, that's not a SMART goal. And in fact, if that's the only thing you got, you have enough to make a SMART goal, right? On the flip side, if you start with the SMART goal, where you're like, I'm going to save $500 a month into my TSP so I can retire early. And I'm going to invest in only in the C fund so I can get an 11% annual return, and that's going to be enough so that I have this much money at this time. Okay, well, that's a very SMART goal, right? You were very specific. You said $500 a month, every month. You know, it's measurable because at the end of the year, you can look back and make sure that you've been putting the money in, that you're getting the returns, that you're making progress, that you're getting the matching from the government, that you were also allocating the matching funds into the C fund and not letting it go into the hopelessly underperforming G fund or F fund or life cycle fund or anything else that's crap under the TSP. You only need the C fund and maybe the S fund. Those are the only two funds worth investing in the whole TSP, right? You know, it's achievable, right? Because you, even if you're an E1, you know, you're still going to make enough money each month that, like, with free room and board, free utilities, and no need for transportation because you can walk from the barracks to your workplace or bum a ride from your corporal, you know, you have more than enough to put $500 a month in your TSP, which means it's also reasonable, right? It's a reasonable number to put $500 a month away for the next 40 years because you'll have a couple million dollars, right? So it's a SMART goal. But what if you don't actually know what you want to do in your 50s or 60s? What if you don't have a vision of the future? Well, then that's it's a pointless goal to set, right? And really, really good budgets, they actually have you do SMART goals, but they still skip the first step of coming up with a vision for the future. And so when you're getting into the iCash system, this first step is you're doing two things at the same time, right? The first thing you're doing is you're either going to download Google Sheets budget tracker, Google Forms and Google Sheets budget tracker, or you're just going to download a free budget tracking app like You Need a Budget or Credit Karma, and you're going to set that thing up, and you're just going to let it go for the next 1 to 3 months in the background, just collecting data on all your expenses and all your income, just giving you data, right? And you're not even going to stress about it. Don't worry. Just let it happen. Your focus over the first 30 days in the iCash system is to go through a very, very like personal goal setting process. The first day you're going to sit down and you're going to just write down like 15 to 25 things that you want to achieve in your life. The second day you're going to come and you're going to sit down and you're going to write 10 to 15 values, things that are really important to you, that you want to live, that you want to embody, that you want to show in your daily life. And you're going to write 5 or 10 things down that you don't want to do, that are the anti of you. You're going to come back on the third day and you're going to look at that first list of goals that you had for things you want to achieve in your life. And you're going to circle the 5 that are the most important that to you will give you a great life, a dream life. Not everybody's got the same dreams. Some people want to work forever. Some people want to become, you know, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Some of them want to become the sergeant major of the Army. You know, some of them want to become a president of the United States. Some want to be a lawyer. Some just want to be like a good parent and a stay-at-home parent. Everybody's got a different sort of like identity and outcome. And along with that, are you got to come up with 5 things that you'll achieve in your life that will make you able to look back and when you're 80 or 90 or 100 and say, like, I did it. Like, I lived out my dream. I had a perfect life. I did everything I wanted. It's amazing, right? And they don't even have to be goals. They can just be like, you know, I want to spend the last 40 years of my life just traveling the world, right? Like, that's not anything super ambitious. It's just something you want to be able to do. And by the end of this first week, you know, maybe you start on a Sunday and you miss a couple days during the week because of work or, you know, something with the family. But by the next Sunday, you should be able to sit down and you should be able to look at these five things that you really, really want to spend your life investing in yourself to be able to accomplish and to do. You want to have 3 to 5 core values, things that you really want to live out. You want to have 3 to 5 core anti-values. And you want to be able to look at those. And as you're saying them to yourself and you're reading them through, you want to be able to write a purpose statement, right? Something that says like, my purpose in life is to do this or to be this person. Or my identity as a person is this, you know? And as an example for me, you know, I identify as a father, a husband, a son, a friend, a student, a teacher, a mentor. And my purpose in life is to be the kind of person who never misses a practice or recital. And so what I've done right there is I've laid out that for me, I have this purpose of being there for my family, being present for my family. And what is this going to start to do? Well, it's going to help me start to, when I get into big, tough decisions down the line with finances, cars, houses, toys, trips, expensive gadgets on Amazon or, you know, Instagram, I have this vision of who I'm going to be, and I have this purpose in my life. And if I'm having a tough time potentially spending a lot of money on something that isn't needed, I could just ask myself, does this, you know, if I come home on Friday and I'm like, hey, surprise, like I bought a motorcycle, right? Does that align with my purpose to be present? And that might not be immediately like clear, right? But let me put it in this context. If I'm not thinking about the things that are important, being present for my family, being there to support them, being able to continually invest in and improve their lives, I'm going to do things that take on debts that are wasteful spending, that are not investing in our financial security, and that trap me into the paycheck to paycheck lifestyle. And if I'm in the paycheck to paycheck lifestyle, if I can't leave my job, if I'm chained to the desk in order to cover those expenses and those bills, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to miss practices. I'm going to miss recitals. And I'm going to fail myself in terms of living up to my own identity of being a father and a husband and a friend and a son, because I'm not going to be present for my family when they need me. And so this is all very personal, but by going through this first week of iCash and just like thinking about what I value, what my purpose in life, how I kind of frame my identity, I'm going to create this vision of who I want to be and who I am in the future that is already starting to guide me to make sure that I don't make foolish decisions that put my family in financial hardship or bring on a lot of debt, because those are going to take me farther away from the person I want to be. And then in my second week of iCash, I'm going to now start to list out the things in life that will fill that life, right? And so, you know, for some of the examples that we have for that are, you know, retiring early, being able to, by the time we're in our mid-50s, be able to freely pick up and move wherever our daughter goes so that we can always be there to support her in her life. Because, you know, again, both my wife and I left our hometowns as soon as we graduated high school, moved far away for college, moved farther away for grad school, moved even farther away for work. And eventually we were both thousands and thousands of miles from home. You know, and after a decade of that, you realize like how important family is for support, you know, and then we started raising our family. Well, I was still active duty, which meant we were, again, thousands and thousands of miles away from any family and support. And so for us, you know, that's a big part of that future vision of the life, right? So we started with our purpose, our identity. Like, this is who I am. This is who I want to be. And now, in order to live that life out, we need to be able to have an early retirement before Social Security comes, right? So even more of it's on you retiring before you can, you know, technically withdraw from your retirement accounts, which means diversifying into other brokerage accounts and real estate and other assets. You know, and then working back from that further, we're like, okay, you know, we also want to be able to help our daughter start her life debt-free. So we want to provide some assets to her so that she doesn't have to go take out $200,000 in debt to go to college if that's what she wants to do. We want to travel the world. We want to have a house that's, you know, our primary residence, but we also want to have a mountain home and a beach home, not exclusively for our use, right? But we want to be able to say, like, okay, if in 20 years, well, sorry, in 10 years, we want to buy our forever home. In 5 years, we want to buy, like, our vacation home. And in 15 years, we want to buy another vacation home, right? So, like, now we have these other things that we're describing this future life. We don't want to have consumer debt. We don't want to have auto loans. So we need to have cash. We need to have emergency savings. And so as you flush this out in the second week, right, the first one, again, you're coming up with your purpose. You're coming up with your identity. And now you're filling in the blanks for what that future life includes. Now you start to see what you can achieve, right? You have these dreams, and you're starting to have goals. They're still not smart goals, but you're starting to paint this picture of the life you want to live, right? And, you know, here's the kicker, and here's where the transition occurs between the I and the C in iCash, is that, you know, I is identify dreams and goals, and C is calculate the cost. And we just said, in order to do this, you need to use SMART goals, right? Things that are specific, measurable, achievable, reasonable, time measured, which means you have to put a dollar amount into the amount you need to get by a certain time. And then that translates into a monthly savings amount starting right now. So the I and the C work together. The I is where you list the thing that you want and you list the time you want to achieve it by. Right. So, you know, I have 20 years. Well, let's back it up a little bit more. I've got 30 years to save enough for an early retirement. That means I've got 30 years to save enough for a forever home, which means I've got 20 years to save enough to transfer to my children assets that can help them start their lives out debt free. Right. Which, you know, at some point, I'll explain how the best option for that is real estate, but we're probably still like about 10 shows away from getting to that. You know, and then you're like, okay, but also, you know, I'm going to retire from the military 15 years from now, and I want to treat myself with, you know, a brand new Range Rover because I love that truck. All right, so now I've got 15 years to make sure I've got enough cash to go buy this dream car as a retirement gift for myself. In 10 years, I would like to, you know, it'll be an anniversary present, right? Like, take my parents' 50th anniversary, and I want to take my parents and my siblings and all our spouses, and we're going to go on a dream vacation together as a family, right? And so now you have these specific things you want to do in a certain amount of time from now into the future. And then you get to transition into the C of the iCash by figuring exactly how much it's going to cost. And then just using some simple math, using online calculators to find out how much you need to start saving every month from today. This works. This works because what you're doing now is you're giving yourself clear targets to shoot on for things that you want, things that will give you the dream life, things that will let you do the things that you've always wanted to do, that will make you happy. The things that will motivate you and fulfill you as a person you want to be, living the purposeful life that you want. And I realize that it can be really tough to kind of you know, pencil in when you're in your 20s. But like I said, you don't have to get it right. And what you have right now doesn't have to be the same thing you have on paper when you're 30 or 35. But there is something. And I can tell you again, you know, when I was 25 and, you know, we're going to Afghanistan and didn't necessarily expect to come back, or at least not all in one piece. And you know, I still remember, like, you know, I'll just say it, right? But, you know, the last day before, you know, our second deployment to Afghanistan, yeah, I went to the shop, I bought a 6-pack of beer, jumped in my truck, drove out into the desert, and just tried to see how fast I could drive my truck, like, on these, you know, sand trails while I was, like, sipping a beer, you know? I was like, I hope that I do this once in my life, you know, if I don't come back, like, at least I'm doing something kind of like wild and fun and free, you know, totally illegal. Right. But we're on the desert. So no, it's not like there's cops out there looking for you. But at the same time, I still had dreams of owning my own home, having a family, being debt free, retiring before I was 70, you know, like I still had those dreams. I just never took them and translated them into a real plan that I could execute. And here's the advantage. Here's why this works, right? If you're 25 and you can write that down, that these are the things that you want in your future life 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years from now, and then we can assign a cost to it, then we can come up with something that says, like, every month I need to put $586 into my TSP C fund in order to get the 5% match, and in order to be on track that by age 55, you know, I could take advantage of IRS rules for the rule of 55 or the, you know, the 72 equal payments program, and I can retire early on my TSP, and I will have enough because I started right now with $586 a month. Additionally, in order to have enough for a down payment on a house, 20 years from now, when I get out of the military and want to move back home and have my dream house, start my, you know, set up my forever home, family life, I know that I'm going to have to put $500 a month away, right? The VA loan's going to help me. It's going to be a game changer when I use it, when I retire, but I still need to have $500 to pay for funding fees and closing costs and a little bit of down payment, probably some like repairs and all that. And I want to get a new car in 5 years, and I'm going to need $500 a month that I need to save in order to get that car, right? Well, right there, I've just come up with a personal financial plan where these big future savings targets and expenses that I have in order to live my dream life and do the things that will make me happy and that I daydream of and that like motivate me to come to work every day, I need to save that much right now, starting right now. And now I could put together a personal financial plan where I start making those savings contributions and those investments. And then if I run out of money before I can pay for my Hulu and my Netflix and my YouTube, well, now I know I can cancel them. And it's easy to cancel that YouTube premium or the Netflix because, you know, and the you know, the Uber Eats and Apple Music and like all those things because like, oh, I was $200 over budget. If I cut these subscriptions, I can still afford my $500 a month savings goal to get a new car in 3 years. But if I keep the subscriptions, I can't get that new car. Now, what's more important to you? Watching a show ad-free or being able to upgrade your car in 3 years? And like now you're putting yourself in this position where you're like, I would much rather have the car than I would have, you know, ad-free TV shows at night. It makes it easy. You're not fighting anything. You're not telling yourself, oh, I can't have that. Oh, I'm being irresponsible. Oh, I'm wasting it. The iCash system brings back to the very present and throws right in your face the very things that you want in life, the big ticket items that will make you happy and make you feel the most fulfilled and help you get closest to your dream life. And that makes it easy to skip out on the silly little things that you would otherwise waste your, you know, $10 here and $10 there. It adds up quick. You know, I'll finish with a quick anecdote from one of my favorite corporals back in, this is, you know, almost 10 years ago now, back in North Carolina. But, you know, I was just, had just kind of wrapped up my company command time and was moving over to the S shops in the battalion headquarters. And I went down to the tank ramp and just to check in on the Marines. And, you know, this corporal came up and he was really upset because the vending machine was out of his favorite Monster. And he only drank that color Monster. And I was like, why do you drink that stuff? He's like, I'm bored. I like the energy. It tastes good. I'm like, yeah, but how many of those do you drink? He's like, oh, I drink five. I drink one in the morning before PT. I drink one after PT. I drink one at lunch. I drink one in the mid-afternoon, and then I drink one before I go to the gym after work. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, how much do those cost? And he's like, well, they're $3 each. I was like, you spend $300 a month. You spend $3,600 a year. If you skip that, if you just drank the free coffee in the company office, you know, over in the maintenance chief's office, right? In less than 3 years, you could buy yourself a new car. And when he understood that, he stopped drinking. He went cold turkey, quit those energy drinks that day, because I had helped him with some quick mental math see that what he was trading off for, like, the cheap and easy and tasty sugary Monster, you know, five times a day to, like, you know, boost him through the day, was in the long run was going to cost him a car. And, you know, he made the change just like that. And you can too. And that's why iCash works, because it doesn't assume that whatever you're doing is lazy or stupid or irresponsible. It just says, let's compare if what you're doing right now is more important than what you could be doing if you were saving and investing a different way. And we're going to tell you exactly how much it costs to get to your dreams and your goals, to live out the life that you want. And then you make the choice, right? You make the choice. If you'd still rather have DoorDash four nights a week and watch Netflix and Hulu ad-free and drink five energy drinks a day, then fine. Like, you're not going to retire early. You're not going to be able to afford a dream home. You're not going to be able to get a nice new car. You're not going to give yourself a nice retirement gift. You're not going to be able to take a couple years off when you leave the military and travel the world or try something entrepreneurial. You know, you're not going to have enough cash to, like, help your kids through school debt-free. You're not going to have any of that. And that's your choice. But the iCash system at least shows you what the trade-off is. And then, as we'll talk about in future episodes, we'll talk about some specific examples, give you real numbers. So you see that we're not just throwing these things out randomly and trying to make it sound achievable or reasonable. Like, you can have a pretty baller life if you start early enough and stay consistent. And those are some of the key principles to building wealth. And again, it's not just for the purpose of, like, stockpiling money or stacking sats. It's so that you have enough money that you can live the life that you dream of. Because who wants to wake up one day and realize that all their dreams are dead, or that they're too old to ever, you know, pursue them, and they have to give up on their dreams because for the past 40 years they were just living with their head in the sand financially, right? The whole point of getting in charge, getting control of and being in charge of your finances is so that you can live the life that you've always dreamed of, whatever it is. And what we're going to do is we're going to come back next week and we're going to move into the second step of iCash, which is calculate the cost. And it's going to be a little bit more of a numbers game. I'm looking at a couple apps that could help us do this with a video so that then we could actually show the numbers. But what we're really going to do is we're going to show, like, how achievable substantial wealth is for you in a 20-year savings period, right? Whether that's 20 years in the military, 10 years in the military, 10 years in the civilian world, 4 years in the military, 16 years in the civilian world. Over the course of 20 years, if you're consistent and you start at the beginning, you can have millions of dollars by the time you're in your 40s. It's crazy, right? It doesn't seem like it. But thanks to the power of compounding and good planning, having a solid personal financial plan, it's all achievable and reasonable. So that's it. That's iCash, right? And that's why it's, you know, trademark. That's our brand. That's our system. It's totally unconventional. It flips things on its head. And like I said, the whole point is you spend that first month just doing this goal setting, writing your purpose, coming up with your identity, what you value, what you want to do, what you never want to do, what your life looks like in the future, what it has in it. And that takes time, right? Just think about it. And in the background, you've just got the app or maybe you're using our Google Forms tool to just kind of like get a baseline of where you are in your spending. So then after a month, you can come back and you can sit down and, you know, over a coffee on a Sunday morning or whatever the case may be, you can say like, okay, I've just come up with these goals. I'm ready to calculate the cost and see how much they cost. And I also have all this information from my budget tool that shows me like where my spending is right now. And I can start to look at trade-offs and say like, okay, I know I need to, I'm only saving $300 a month in my TSP right now. I need to double it. I need to come up with $300 of other stuff I can skip out on in my life in order to make sure I have enough to retire one day and not be an 80-year-old greeter at Walmart, you know, sitting in one of those little gopher scooters or whatever. Maybe you dream of that, but I don't really want to be working when I'm 80. So for me, making sure there's enough going into the retirement accounts is very important. All right, that's it for this week. And like I said, we'll be back next week. We're going to talk about calculate the cost. We're going to have some numbers and some real-world examples. And then, you know, head on over to the blog, because what we're going to do on the blog is we're going to take our sort of formula, our goal-setting worksheet that we have, and we're basically going to put it out there so you can see it. And you can actually go through the process. You can just print out the blog post or download a PDF. We should be able to get a link in there. And then you can sit down and you can just pen to paper, just like fill in your own goals and start describing what this future dream life looks like. And if you have a partner, right, another reason to set a full month aside is if you're married or if you have a serious, you know, romantic partner, you each want to do it individually. And then you want to come together on like that fourth week of that first month and do the thing together, right? And compare, hey, this is what I really want. This is what you really want. And not only is that going to make for a better financial plan for you and your family, but it's also going to help you get to know your partner a little bit better. Because there's some things that you're going to put on there, some things that they're going to put on there that you've probably never talked about, you know? Like, don't tell my wife, but I love boats. I would really love to have a speedboat when I'm older to just go out there and like cruise around on the lake or maybe the ocean at like 60 miles an hour. Well, what's that, 50 knots? I'm supposed to say knots. I'm supposed to know what that is, right? She doesn't know that, but that's something that like I secretly want to save for. When we sit down and work together on our family financial plan, like that comes out. It's way at the bottom, of course. It's a nice to have. It's a want, but it still comes out because we work on it together. So thanks again for joining us. That's all we got for this week. And we look forward to seeing you back here. Same time, same channel next week on the Service and Wealth Podcast. If you're not already subscribed, please do so on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel, Military Wealth Coach, on Spotify or Apple. You know, just search for Service and Wealth and we'll pop right up. And as always, leave us a 5-star review if you think we've earned it. If you don't think so, why don't you just send me a DM and tell me how we can do better. And as always, head on over to our website, www.militarywealthcoach.com, where you can sign up for our weekly newsletter that includes updates from our podcast and our blog, as well as weekly money savings tips. And you can also sign up for a free coaching session with me, where we'll just take like 45 to 60 minutes to talk about whatever financial questions or problems that you're dealing with right now and see if there's any way that we can help you. And as always, and finally, find one person in your life who this show could benefit or would be interested in what we're talking about and share a link with them and help them join the community so we can get the word out there and just keep expanding our family, you know, active duty, reserve, guard, veteran, retired, separated, family. Everybody out there who could benefit from a little bit more financial education. All right, and until next week, stay financially fit and mission ready.